Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 193 of Beyond the Supernatural. We are on the last page of the Occupations section. It's been a wild ride. This has been a great section. And we're wrapping up with one of the most fun and flavorful occupations, the Stage Magician. Now we're not going to get into it here in this regular episode, but just as a reminder, I have posted or will soon post a bonus episode where I created, along with Crackpot Joan, our monster hunting landscaper, an additional character. A stage magician whose occupation was voted on by patrons over at patreon.com/megadumbcast. If you sign up for the Patreon at any level, you'll be able to listen to that episode and be introduced to a fully formed monster hunting stage magician and really see me take this occupation for a spin. But that's Patreon business. We're not here to talk about Patreon business. We're here to talk about the stage magician in general. This occupation seems on paper like it would be really fun. You just see stage magician, you think, oh, a stage magician who fights real monsters. What delicious irony. Plus, I get to wear a top hat, have a stage name. Seems really fun. But I'm here to say, you know, take a moment to examine your prejudices, your stereotypes. Everybody thinks of either the magician in the suit or the top hat, or the billowy shirt. Everybody thinks of the little black wand with the white tip. A few stereotypical tricks, you know, the rings, the scarves, pulling live animals out of nowhere, card tricks, naturally. There is so much more, though, to the whole life of the magician. Keep in mind, this is Beyond the Supernatural, which is doing its best to ride the coattails of the World of Darkness games. And part of that whole wave in role-playing is we're looking into the seedy underbelly of every aspect of society. People are tortured and complicated, and stage magicians are no exception. They are complicated in a fun way. You wouldn't know it from the skills that the stage magician gets. These start on the previous page, and they're pretty much what you would expect. Card sharp, disguise or escape artist, palming, concealment, juggling, performance, pick locks, pickpockets, and then weapon proficiency with a knife or a sword. But those skills are just your key to a secret and dangerous world. It says here of the advantages of being a stage magician, quote, probably has some and will develop others through role-playing, contacts with actors, agents, and the owners, managers, and employees at clubs and entertainment establishments, and possibly some civic associations and politicians via performing at fundraisers. This is interesting. Get to know the power players. This is a great asset in a crisis. Operator, there's no time to lose. Connect me directly to the governor. He'll remember me. I am Balthazar the Enchanter. We met long ago at that mall opening. And then you're in. Now you got the governor on your side. This is the high-powered world of stage magic. But you also have friends in low places. Straddle that fence. Not only have you been out at these elite mall openings, dining with kings and queens, but you've been in the alley eating pork and beans in the city's underworld. Quote, may also know about local, quote, hotspots, such as popular restaurants, local attractions, notable for being good, bad, or criminal hangouts, bars, nightclubs, strip joints, blind pigs, rave sites, and hangouts. Okay, a lot of information there to unpack about the life of a stage magician as envisioned by Beyond the Supernatural. Let's take it one at a time. You know about all the local hotspots, popular restaurants, sure. Now, these restaurants may not remain popular if they continue to employ magicians. But then again, it doesn't specify that you know these places because they employ you. And it also doesn't say good restaurants. It says popular restaurants. Maybe there are some, you know, hoity-toity places and they're like high concept. And so they have these tables you can go and see like close-up magic or whatever as part of a general hipster carny vibe. And though, you also know shitty little places where people go to eat when they're drunk. And you can pick their pockets, because that's also a magician skill. That's magic with real stakes. Is this your watch, sir? The answer is not anymore. You know local attractions, presumably because you go kind of magic busk there. I don't think people often ask magicians to recommend places, do they? I don't think people come up to magicians after the show and are like, boy, we really enjoyed those card tricks. We want to go kayaking tomorrow. What do you recommend? This kind of question is beneath Balthazar the Enchanter, and he'll tell you so. It also says here that you know about notable bars, either because they're good bars, bad bars, or criminal hangouts. I am not a bar goer. Do bars have magicians? I know that there are specifically magic bars, but maybe that's all this means. You know, maybe it's the three faces of the magic bar. It's a good bar for magicians because you can get work there, compare notes with other magicians, do a little networking. It's a bad bar because, you know, It has magicians. And maybe it's a criminal hangout, because who's going to hear you at a magic bar? It's kind of the perfect cover, right? Not too many patrons. Really good reason to keep people from prying around outside the main customer's area, right? Not too suspicious to confiscate somebody's camera if they get nosy at a magic bar. It's full of other people who aren't mobsters, but are also people, mostly men, who look simultaneously well-groomed and unsavory. If I were a mobster, I would totally hang out at the magic bar. So maybe that's what this means. Maybe this means you know every style of magic bar, but your connections don't stop just inside the conventional magic community. You also know nightclubs, right, from doing your magic act at clubs, strip joints, not the most traditional of stage magician employers, but you know what? There is an established synergy between stage magic and stripping. If you don't believe me, believe Ursula Martinez. I will link you to a video of hers in the episode description. Don't watch it around your kids. But stage magic and stripping go together, like gloved hand in naked hand. Look, you may wear a top hat, but you're not some fucking fancy Dan out here. You are a down and dirty stage magician. You know all the back alleys. You know all these unsavory characters in your town. Did you know, for example, also, that you're familiar with all of your town's blind pigs? Now, a blind pig, in case you're not familiar, I wasn't, is a slang term for a speakeasy. The author is certainly very proud to know this slang, because it appears constantly in this book. I haven't talked about it until this point, because I knew we were going to do this list, but there are so many occupations that are familiar with the blind pigs in their vicinity. But yeah, you know about the speakeasies in your town, which I think lends this vision of stage magic an air of sophistication, danger, transgression. You know, let's go to the back of the barbershop, knock on the door 4 times, climb the narrow staircase, go upstairs, drink some very expensive liquor, might not even get drunk, might go blind. But while we're waiting to see which, let's see some fucking badass illegal magic up in this illegal speakeasy. And this leads me to believe this is not like your prime time magic. This is not your network TV sellout, soft and cuddly stage magic. This is raw. This is real. You're working blue, sex, violence. This is the stage magic of a fallen world. It feels illicit. It pairs well with getting fucked up. And we can see that with the next thing on this list, rave sites. Stage magic at a rave. It makes all the sense in the world when you look at this vision of magic. It's intense. It's underground. It's disorienting. So disorienting, in fact, that almost this is like too easy for stage magic. Like if there's any one drawback, it's that the audience is too receptive. Like they might miss it because they're fucked up. Like, are you magic or am I high? I don't even know. You pull the bunny out of nowhere and they're just like fucking stoked that there's a bunny here now. I didn't even know you were a magician. I just want to hang out with that bunny for a while. But yeah, overall, raves and stage magic, a great match. And then finally, you're familiar with hangouts. I don't really know what this means as opposed to bars, nightclubs, attractions, hotspots, restaurants. I guess like soda shops, like Archie Comics style or Saved by the Bell. If you're really hard on your luck, you can go slum it with the high school kids from Bayside. Is it canonical that Screech does stage magic? Or does it just seem so right that I have a phantom memory of it? Anyway, my point is you're a well-connected person. Stage magic, quite contrary to the stereotypical, you know, juggling, card sharp, etc. skills, our man Balthazar the Enchanter here knows everybody. Knows politicians, knows business leaders, knows criminals. Imagine that you're having a conversation in the group, and it's like, you know what we really need? There's this cultist. This is really a job for like a hired killer. We need to put out a contract on this guy. And then Balthazar raises his hand and is like, I know a guy. Follow me now to the darkest of nightclubs, where I shall make your introductions to Carl. He is a gangster. He is from Ukraine. Shit, Balthazar, your life is so grim and gritty, who knew? But it is not without its dangers. Under disadvantages, we see that very clearly. In addition to what you would expect, like once you confirm the booking, then if you don't show up, then it's your ass. You won't be able to make a living as a stage magician if you're not reliable. But also, quote, brawling, drunkenness, and carelessness all spell trouble. Damage to a venue as a direct result of the performer, i.e. starting a brawl, inciting a panic or a riot, etc., will come out of the magician's pay. Is this a problem stage magicians have? I guess it is in this dark and bonkers world. I guess when you go to work the club or the strip club or the speakeasy, things can get rowdy. Things can get out of hand. There might be brawling. No, let me step back. Not there might be brawling. You might be brawling. That's the statement here. I guess it's known to happen that if you take a chance on booking a stage magician, they might just jump down off the stage and start dyeing those white gloves red. They might pull out their wand and start taking out eyes. Is this directed at hecklers? Is this somebody in the audience sees something they're not supposed to see and you got to take them out? Is this a matter of pride or like protecting the act? Like I know it used to be if you were a pro wrestler back in the kayfabe days, people thought pro wrestling was real, or at least they were supposed to. And so you were supposed to like make a real good account of yourself in bar fights. You know, you didn't want to get into fights, and if you did, you had to win, because otherwise you wouldn't get booked anymore, because you had to be credible as a combatant, you know, as a professional fighting athlete. I guess maybe if you're a magician and you're trying to uphold kayfabe, motherfuckers got to think you're magic. So if they insult your honor or they start getting rough with you, like, how magic can you be if you're not going to stand up? Like, I don't believe that you're this menacing master of the mystic arts that you portray on stage. If there's a big guy in the crowd talking shit about you and you let it slide, like, maybe you have to fight him to protect the mystique. I don't know why, but I mean, based on this, stage magicians fight, they go on drunk, which, I mean, for sure is a thing that happens in real life. It's more odd in a role-playing game because, like, I don't think probably in real life a lot of stage magicians start fights with the crowd, like physical fights, but that seems like the kind of thing you would do as a player character. Like, as a player, if you're bored or you think it would be funny, but I'm not sure there's a lot of fun to be had as a player playing a magician who goes on drunk. So I don't know why you would do that. Peer pressure, possibly. Maybe you get hazed by other magicians. I don't know. There's a concern here that you might damage the venue by starting like a bar fight or a panic. Here's the thing. Even in the world of Beyond the Supernatural, we were just talking about old school pro wrestling. Stage magic is like new school pro wrestling. Kayfabe is dead. You come to a pro wrestling show knowing that you're seeing a performance. You don't come to see a real fight, just like you don't go to a magic show to see actual magic. In fact, you're kind of paying for a ticket based on someone's ability to show you something that looks like magic, but you know that it's not. What do you think you'd have to do at a magic show to get the audience to, like, stand up and scream and be like, oh shit, it's a real wizard, and run? I think you could get away with almost anything. Like, in the same way, if you ever really wanted to knock someone unconscious and then just tear their whole back up with a staple gun, there's probably no better place to do that in front of a large crowd than a wrestling show. Nowhere else are people so primed to see that and think, oh, that's fine. And in the same way, if you had to pick one place on earth to vanish into a wisp of smoke inexplicably in front of a large crowd and not start a panic, I would pick a magic show. How much of a fucking badass are you to start a panic at a magic show? I mean, I guess you could do it just brute force with, like, a real tiger, something like that. But you don't get any animal skills with this occupation, so that's not really your act. Or at least it's not sustainable for you. Expect to buy a new tiger at each venue. You're not getting that thing back in the truck. It says here, a riot. As distinct from a panic, this occupation doesn't just anticipate that your magic act will scare people, shake them to their core, so that they came to see magic, they came to be astounded and entertained, but instead, they fucking freaked out and they fled en masse. People were trampled. It's not even that. They think you might start a riot. Is your act political? What are you doing to make them feel like they have to fight at a magic show? What is it that's happening in the magic show that outside there's a police officer on their radio saying, listen, I need backup at the Jack of Diamonds Club. Me and the boys, we can't get this crowd under control. These magic heads, they're all riled up. We got the riot shields out. I don't know what that Balthazar the Enchanter did, but we're going to wake up to a city in flames if we don't set up a perimeter here. This magic show is out of fucking control. What happened? Who are you? I am so impressed and amazed by this. There was a stage magician character class in Heroes Unlimited, but it was a little bit pathetic, you know, like contortion. Okay. It's practical for a stage magician, not super useful for crime fighting. Mainly they got like equipment, weak ass equipment too. Like, if you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to my episode about the stage magician from season 2. They got this shit called goblin dust, which is nothing. It's like a paper sack full of, like, ashes and dirt that you can blow in people's eyes or, like, bash over their heads and hope that it gets in their eyes. It's nothing. It's a bag of dirt. That's the stage magician in Heroes Unlimited. Now, coming into this, though, getting the backstory, this seems like trench coat horror. Like, the idea that the secret life of a stage magician is just fucking fraught with crime and danger. There are riots. You're fighting the whole crowd by yourself, you know? Your act goes pear-shaped. And now you're up there with your throwing knives, holding off the baying crowd. Hell yeah, I love this stage magician. It is undoubtedly the dumbest thing on this page. But if you read between the lines, it is, like, over-the-top dark, and I love that. I love it in early edition Vampire the Masquerade, and I love it here. Anyway, speaking of the setting of Beyond the Supernatural, join me next time when the skills section begins and the author tells us, in the language of rules, what this world is supposed to be like in play on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Megadumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zambita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.